It's The Takeaway. Welcome back. I'm Todd Zwillick. For the last several weeks, WNYC's Rebecca Carroll has been leading us through a book club series we're calling Reading the Reckoning. Well, this week, Rebecca sat down with three of you, our listeners, to discuss An American Marriage by Tayari Jones.
My takeaway was that the book was really sort of a microcosm of a much bigger issue. My name is Bennett Windheim. I'm from Washington Heights, New York.
The writer didn't make too many judgments about each voice. My name is Carol Severson, and I'm living in Prineville, Oregon.
What I appreciated about the book is the authenticity of the voices. Hi, my name is Michelle Watts, and I live in Cincinnati, Ohio. And thinking about this book from a Black feminist perspective, I think Black feminist frameworks really prioritize the lived experience and interiority and the idea that race and gender and choice and class all intersect in the lives of women and people in general, but women specifically. And this is something they have to grapple with on a daily basis. And, you know, that's what really made my heart go out to Celestial. At times she seems like she's really hard. Other times she seems she's vulnerable. And I think that's really important for a Black woman character to be allowed to be vulnerable. But you see that she is grappling with all of these choices on a very daily basis.
Bennett, I see you nodding your head to that.
I appreciate what Michelle had just said. You know, I think that class and some insecurities on his end, there were a lot of things. And somebody had mentioned, you know, that she's kind of cold or a little hard at times. And he's the more maternal figure.
Which is really, I mean, so interesting. And also, I think, a little bit gendered, you know, that she is perceived as cold when, in fact, her language, her voice is so generous and gentle and giving and kind. But the fact that she was stating what she wanted is somehow synonymous with being cold.
And that's true regardless of race for women.
Yes.
And, you know, Bennett, you said something earlier about how quickly it fell apart. Early on in the novel, she references Roy's little flings.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like this was on really shaky grounds from the outset.
You're right. He does things that create a separation.
Right.
Phone numbers in the pocket. Lying through omission. You know, when you're married to you're an open book. It was my perception that there was something, many things, little things that did not allow them to, you know, fully bond as a couple.
And you're speaking as a married person.
Yes,
who else is married here?
I'm married.
I have been married. I'm not married now.
Right. So I'm struck by this notion of when you're married, you do this. When you're married, it looks like this.
I agree. I recognized my own life in this book. I didn't get the sense that they had true comfort telling each other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was one of the seeds of discontent, that it wasn't comfortable for either of them to tell their most precious secrets.
I felt like they were deeply, deeply in love, and that it was a kind of, it was an agreement that they had negotiated without specific terms, and that
right.
That is what, that they both sort of agreed to the non-specificity of it is what drew them together.
And I think you're right about that. But then when this life-changing crisis came up, that's when I think it was important that they maybe should have had less of an open-ended arrangement.
For our listeners, spoiler alert, she did though have room for Andre.
She did.
Bennett, what were your thoughts about the Andre factor?
I didn't care about Andre. Andre was the third wheel. He was the problem beyond the
wow.
bigger problem. And I wondered what would have happened between Celestial and Roy were Andre not in the picture.
Oh.
But he was. And something that I'd like to add to that, because we're talking about the dynamics of a marriage and what is a marriage. And I'm looking at the title and I'm thinking it's An American Marriage. And I'm putting that in the context of today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking there's no sacrifice in this marriage. Once he's incarcerated, he needs her to be his strength, to give him something to live for, to know that there's somebody out there, his spouse, who's supposed to be the closest person to you, to be there for him as he knows she's drifting away. She needs him to say, let me go. Understand that a marriage is only what two people do together and we're not together, and neither are willing to give the other what they need.
See, I think that what Celestial needs is for him to not be in prison. And he can't control that.
That's right.
And she can't control that. But that is what she needs.
Okay, so what does she do to help him get out of that situation? Where is my advocate? Where is the outrage at this injustice? He says, I'm innocent. And she hears that, and her answer is, well, I'm innocent too.
Well, why is she not entitled to the same right of innocence and stating that?
She is, but you're looking at it from her point of view, and I'm trying to be empathetic from his point of view and say, I'm locked in this hell on earth.
Where
are you? What are you doing?
So your opinion or is objective, right? Because it's from the male perspective.
it's subjective from the male perspective. I would.
Well, no,
yes,
that's what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah. I'm taking his side a little bit because I don't feel like anybody else is.
You are taking the side of how a marriage in America has been institutionalized and assigns roles to people. And you are suggesting that, or stating that, Celestial's role as his wife is to be his advocate and to sacrifice, when so much of what Black women have done and do, but historically we have been in advocacy roles for everyone, not just our spouses. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it resonated all that much more that she decided to choose what she needed for herself and be her own advocate.
And you know what's really interesting? I saw some web chatter that women in particular did not like Celestial's character. And I think it's precisely that we're so accustomed as Black women to holding up our men. We go to marches when our men and boys get shot down. We support them to the ends of earth. And I think historically that's what we've done. But the fact that she chose herself is quite revolutionary if you look at it in that particular context. And
to be clear, she's not supporting
him. Right, absolutely.
Right.
She's just not supporting him as you know, as a wife. Right.
Okay, parting words, Bennett.
You know, for me as the father of a young Black man and knowing the statistics, I worry. And so I project onto Roy certain things. And perhaps that's where my bias is coming from in this story too. But I think the whole situation is sad, and it's a bigger story than the marriage. It affects the individual, it affects the spouse, it affects the community. There's so much that it trickles down to so many other people.
Michelle?
This book, of course, talks about some of our most persistent problems, but what's so important is that it humanizes the people. It shows just how complicated it is. It shows what it does to families, but this book forces us to do so in a way that's beautiful and haunting and in a way that will stay with the reader.
Carol?
It is beautiful. I have many people I want to give this book to now. I think about my own ill-fated marriage and how it is so important to maintain your individuality regardless of the type of relationship you have.
Three very unique and thoughtful perspectives on this wide-ranging, intersectional, gorgeous novel, An American Marriage. Thank you all.
Thank you.
That's WNYC's Rebecca Carroll there in conversation with Carol Severson, Bennett Wenheim, and Michelle Watts.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.